My name is Karen, and I am a compulsive eater and a sugar addict.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. Thank you for this opportunity. It's really a gift and an honor to share my story. I don't have a lot to say about the past. I could go on and on and on about the past, but I won't. But the gist of it is, the theme of my talk today is, I can't, God can. That's what I decided is the meta message. And I don't know if I was a sugar addict first or I was an overeater. I'm not sure. When I think back to my childhood, I remember doing both. So I'm not sure which came first. I remember overeating and I remember binging on sugar, and I don't think I binged on sugar until I was old enough to make it, until I was old enough to bake. And then I was off to the races. And then I remember one time my parents had a pastry they were taking back to the store because it was stale, and I thought, oh, no you're not. I'll eat it. And I snuck it and I got beaten to a pulp. And I don't know if that was kind of the beginning of sneaking and lying, hiding, but how could I do better? I was 8. How could I do better? There's no way. How could my parents have known I was a sugar addict and a compulsive eater? They couldn't have known. So I give them some leeway around that. The other thing is, then I remember all the sneaking and lying, and my sister would have her holiday treats, and I would go in her room every day. Are you going to eat that? When are you going to eat that? God, would you eat that already? And so finally I just started sneaking all of it from her room. And I got an allowance, and I went straight to the bakery and the candy store every morning before school, and I had a mouthful of cavities by fifth grade. So, and I was never overweight because I was a dancer and a gymnast. So we exercised all day, every day. So then I remember next in my life becoming aware to some point, maybe through high school, maybe college, and starting the control. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm only going to eat this, and I'm never going to eat that, and I'm only going to eat before 7, and I'm going to go on this diet and take these pills, and I'm going to... until I was 45. And that went on. Just the constant, I'm gonna. So throughout childhood, I couldn't have done better because I didn't know better. Throughout my adolescence, I couldn't have done better because I had no tools. Throughout my adulthood, I couldn't have done better because I had no spiritual program whatsoever. So that's how I give myself some... I forgive myself, and I try not to beat myself up because I couldn't, God can, and I didn't have God. And I say God, and if anybody bristles at that word, I say God because it's easy. And what it is to me is my aspirations, my motivations, my intention, my best, highest self, and my soul. It is the soul I was born with, not my vehicle and my ego. So I try to remember my body is my car, my soul's car. That's what it is. And I take really good care of my car. And I thought about that one day and I thought, well, then why don't I take really good care of this car? So that was a nice shift for me. That just happened last week. So, you know, it all just kind of comes in these little epiphanies. You're month after month, you go, whoa, wake up. So anyway, I found out I had kind of this yeast bacteria thing, gut infections going on in about 2000. That's when I started to connect my food with my health. That's when I finally started to go, oh, I saw a naturopath and she said, oh, you have candida, like there's no tomorrow. Well, that only led to more on and off and on and off and on and off. But at least I was starting to connect the dots at that point. Like, oh, these things make me tired and depressed. These don't. But could I stop? Absolutely not. So that was about 2000. Then in 2005, I got clean and sober. Weight just fell off me as soon as I started quit drinking. I just lost 20 pounds like that. Because of the massive amount of sugar that I was drinking. So then I was really off to the races. Then the cravings went berserk. So that was 2005. Then in 2008, or 2004, 2005, something like that, 2008, I came into OA. But everybody in these rooms, it may as well have been speaking Arabic. I couldn't make sense of any of it. And I think I needed to focus on my other program at that time. I was trying to do too much too soon, and I couldn't make sense of this, nor was I ready emotionally, physically, or spiritually to even grasp this kind of concept. And so I went back out. So then in 2012, I got married, and I started to connect anger with my food. And I started to connect rage in my marriage with my food. So I went on an elimination diet and an anti-inflammatory diet. And what that did for me is it allowed me to recognize dairy makes me really angry, really angry. Gluten makes me really depressed and bloated and constipated. Corn gave me a raging headache. Sugar made me depressed and rageful. Coffee, anxious. And am I off of coffee? No. But I can't, God can't. So anyway, what that did was that gave me some more awareness. Did I quit all of those things? Absolutely not. Did I become more aware and start to connect the dots? Absolutely. Did I try to take on more control and fix it all by myself? Absolutely. So I decided to go back to OA. So I went, I knew that was the only thing I had left. So this was November of 2013, so basically exactly 2 years ago. I went to Columbia City meeting and I found someone who was a big book thumper and I latched onto her because I knew that working the big book in the other program, excuse me, saved me, and I knew that this was the answer. So I latched onto her, and she helped me discover that sugar was my bottom line abstinence, period. That's it. And I had 10 other things on my list. And she said, you can't do this. This will set you up for failure. Every single day, you cannot have all these things. We are going to focus on sugar, and that's it. So I had no sugar for 10 months when I came into this program. And then all kinds of things happened. In my marriage, there were two deaths in my family. I went through school. I graduated. The weekend of my finals, my husband said he wanted a divorce. I just was like, whoa. And I was sort of high through all of it. And somehow I got through all of it. I moved out. I studied. I graduated. And I was just abstinent. And I lost my appetite, and I got really skinny, and I thought I was the queen of OA. I really did. I was like, well, I got this. I have got this. And then it all kind of came crashing down. And I think what happened is I was in massive adrenal fatigue. Massive. I think that my adrenal fatigue, my adrenals, my adrenaline, my norepinephrine, all of those things were coming to the rescue for me, and I was in survival mode. I was in full-on fight or flight mode. And then I think it all just hit me and I crashed. And so last January, I was in bed, and I went back on sugar. I left that sponsor. I had two other sponsors. I worked the steps. And then, so then I went back on sugar and I crashed, and I was working with my third sponsor, and I worked the whole workbook. I did all 12 steps in the workbook, and it was a lot of working the steps through email. And I kept thinking, I need something different. I need something so much deeper, so much more of a connection. I can get away with murder if I'm at home emailing. I could be eating and emailing, for all anybody knows. I mean, I can do anything I want emailing these steps, sure. And I can't be dishonest anymore. It's impossible for me to be dishonest anymore with myself or others, mostly myself. And so what happened is I thought, you know, what haven't I done? What have I not done yet in this 7 years of being in 12-step programs? I haven't meditated and I haven't gotten on my knees. Those are two things I have not done. And so I signed up for a 6-week meditation course, that which started the end of March. Then I got a meditation app, and I started meditating with this app to start practicing. And then I called my original sponsor, and I said, will you please take me back? I have to do the big book, and I have to do it thoroughly, and I need your help. And she said, absolutely. So I know that I will be in this program the rest of my life, so I don't care if the 12 steps take me another 10 years. I don't care. I have nothing to lose. I have nowhere to be. I have nothing to do but save my own life. That's all I have to do. I don't need to fix anybody. I don't need to fix anything. I don't have to go to graduate school. I have nothing to do but pay my bills and work this program, and that's how I've set my life up. So here's what happened. She said to me, well, let's define your bottom line abstinence again. And I said, okay, that would be sugar. Once again, my bottom line abstinence is no sugar. And what we how she helped me figure this out, and I have two other bottom line abstinences now. My abstinence is geared around that which will kill me. What will kill me? And what will kill me is sugar. I will get so depressed that I will not get out of my apartment, I will not be able to pay my bills, and I'll kill myself. What else will kill me? Nut butter. Nut butter will kill me. I will eat so much of it that I get so depressed and fat and bloated and constipated that I won't get out of my house, I won't pay my bills, and I'll kill myself. I know it. The other thing that will kill me is controlling others. The other thing that will kill me is trying to get other people to do what I think they should do, mostly my family members. I will get so angry that I will eat at them, and I will get so fat and constipated and depressed and angry that I will not pay my bills and I will kill myself. So that's how I determine what my bottom line abstinence is. The other thing is binging. I don't binge. Do I eat between meals or eat off my food plan or have my snack at 9 p.m. when it was supposed to be at 4? Absolutely. I do that. Do I have a few too many cashews? Absolutely. Do I sit and binge and gorge until I'm sick? No, I do not. Do I take a good hard look at my food plan and figure out what went wrong throughout my day based on my emotions, my outreach calls, and working my program? Absolutely. So what has happened is I started this meditation program, and I bawled and I bawled and I bawled for months. And I got stuff out of me, and I recognized through counseling that I had little Karen to take care of. And little Karen is who's craving sugar. Little Karen is going, I want candy! And I go, what else can we do, little Karen? Let's go get a pedicure. You don't need to have candy. I've got you. I love you. You are so beautiful and special, and I'm here for you, and I'm never leaving you. Let's go get a pedicure. So that's what I do. Do I do it perfectly? Absolutely not. Does adult Karen still go, I want candy? Absolutely. And then I go, wait a minute. I'm 49. I do not need to act like this. So is it easy? No, it's not easy. Does it work? Absolutely. So one of the things that I wanted to share is this is what happened. This is what happened to me in June 15th when I put down sugar. Here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. They flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, to take a certain attitude toward that power and to do certain simple things, there has been a revolutionary change in their way of living and thinking. So that's what happened to me in June. I surrendered my life to the care of my higher power. I cannot do anything God can. I cannot fix, figure out, control, change anything only God can. And I came into these rooms thinking, who's going to tell me what to eat? For months, the first year. When's someone going to tell me what to eat? I came in here to learn how to eat. And I would call people and say, how do you eat? What do you eat? And people would tell me, and I would take what worked for me, and I would leave the rest. One of my sponsors said to me, what does God say? And I would go, God's not going to tell me what to eat. And she would say, take a minute. Just take a minute and listen. What is God saying to you? And I would go, that I need more fat at lunch, and that's why I'm craving nuts at 4. And she goes, bingo. And I go, oh. And that's how it works for me. I can sit down and go, oh, I think I'm craving more protein. Or I can sit back and go, oh, beef is not working for me right now, but that's okay. I'm going to up my fish. I'm learning what my body needs by having some quiet time and listening to my body. And I can't do it unless I have breaks between my meals or I pray and meditate and I listen. I have to have some breaks where I go, did that lunch work for me or didn't it? So that's what I do. The other thing I do that I'm really not good at that I want to be better at is outreach calls. Outreach calls saved my life. Saved my life so I could call and say, I'm so mad at my mother. I want to eat at her. And I found women I could trust and I could call and I could talk crazy into their phone and I didn't care if they called me back or not. I also text my food plan to my sponsor and she doesn't give a rip what I eat. She does not care. She might summarize, you know, during the week and go, I noticed this or I noticed that, but that's it. She doesn't care. It's all about me surrendering it, turning it over, and trying to stick to it. That's all that it's about. It's all about me getting it on paper. What else do? I read OA for today every single morning. The other thing I do is a couple of months ago, I raised my hand to start sponsoring, and I had to get out of myself. I had to get out of my own head. I had to pass this on. And now I have 2 sponsees, and it's a gift. It is such a gift. And it helps me walk the talk. The other thing that I do is I try to remember that I have this bottom line abstinence, and I might call my sponsor and say, oh, I did this or I did that, I ate this or I ate that, or I ate too many cashews, or I ate my snack again, I ate both snacks, whatever. And she goes, did you eat sugar? And I go, nope. She goes, well, then you're fine. And she said, Karen, this is the deal, binging, nut butter, and sugar, bottom line. Everything else is your food plan. It is your food plan. Is it working or isn't it? What needs to shift? What doesn't? That's it. And so that's what I try to remember today. The things that no longer work for me is I threw my bathroom scale out. I have no idea how much I weigh. I have driven to the gym all the way in Ballard, and I have turned around and gone home. In fact, one time a partner in recovery texted me and said, I'm thinking about weighing myself. And I go, whoa! I was on my way to the gym to weigh myself right when she texted me. I was like, thank you. Thank you. Let's neither of us weigh ourselves. Those are the things, aren't they? The miracles. Someone calls you right when you need it. Someone texts you right when you need it. It's a miracle. The other thing I cannot do anymore is I cannot count. No more protein, carbs, and fat grams. No more. I cannot do it. It makes me sick to my stomach. I cannot. I can barely weigh and measure. I have a pretty good idea of what works for me or what doesn't. I know when I'm full. I know when I've had enough. So those are some of the things that God has removed from me, taken from me. And so I think that's just about it. I wanted to read another thing that is, this is how I live today. All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking or eating without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been, by any treatment with which we are familiar, permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. So that's what I have today. By the grace of God and this program and my sponsor, is entire abstinence from sugar. And that's all that I need today, and that's all that I strive for each and every day. So that's all. Thank you.